I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. Thank you for coming out in this weather. The epistle for the first Mass of Christmas is taken from Titus chapter 2. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope in the coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 2. At that time there went forth the decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This first enrollment was made by Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his espoused wife, who was with child. And it came to pass that when they were there, her days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him up in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds watching and keeping the night watches over their flock. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the brightness of God shone round them, and they feared with a great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all the people. For this day is born to you in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of good will." Please be seated. Who hast made this most holy night shine forth. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When these Christmas Masses, we've talked about in the past of the light that is to come, the light that comes in this dark time, the darkness of the night. And it's interesting in seeing in this first Mass, in the introit it says, "Dominus dixit, the Lord has said to me, thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee." And so we commemorate the temporal birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, of his coming into this world, is what we recognize at this Mass and obviously at this Christmas season. We have entered now, we have left the Advent season, the preparation, and we have now come into the Christmas season. And so yes, commemorating the temporal birth of our Lord is what we see in the Gospel account, the whole understanding of the birth of our Lord. But then from that in the epistle, we have the apostle to the Gentiles, St. Paul. He addresses how the darkness of Advent can be dispelled by the glory of Christmas. And with that, he talks about our Lord. Our Lord coming and the grace that he brings with that. And in one thing we can look at with St. Paul. St. Paul obviously received a grace. He became a vessel of election. He became this apostle to the Gentiles that he would be preaching the word of God to try to convert the people to the true faith. But it was a grace that St. Paul received in order to do so, because before St. Paul had been persecuting this new church, thinking that he was doing something that was pleasing to Almighty God. But he received a grace at that moment, at that time, than to realize what he was doing was wrong, that he was persecuting our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord asked him, "Why do you persecute me?" And so from that grace that he receives, that is what he's expressing in the epistle. He talks about the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us. And so he's referring to the fact of our Lord coming this night and the graces that are brought with that. And for St. Paul, yes, it's a true experience for him of that our Lord appeared to him, gave him this grace, instructed him in what he should do, and then for him to go out and to preach to all nations, to be this apostle to the Gentiles, to give us our faith. And so he's talking about a real experience with himself, but then also addressing the fact of this grace that has come to us, the grace of this night, dispelling the darkness. And that is the purpose of our Lord's coming, to dispel the darkness, to overcome sin, to redeem mankind. And that's what I've tried to mention and even express to you about the fact of, you can see the plan of Almighty God, the redemption of mankind. And you see how it takes place. And so this night, Christmas night, the birth of our Lord, yes, the temporal birth we commemorate, but it's also then the graces that God gives to us, these opportunity for the graces, and that is what we've been trying to prepare for. This whole season of Advent, we've been preparing for these graces of this night. And so that is what we must try to reflect upon, the purpose of our Lord coming. He came to redeem mankind. And so St. Paul, realistically, yes, he speaks about that no longer was it night in his soul, the darkness of his soul. But then the graces came, and so the light came to him. And then from that light, you can see the grace that St. Paul had to go out to suffer all these things for our Lord. We see in his epistles of what he actually suffered for our Lord. The stoning, the beatings, all these different things that he underwent. And it was to preach Christ crucified, which then, yes, brings us to Easter, the greatest of the liturgical feast of our calendar. But as I say, we have to try to contemplate and to think about the grace that is given to us. And that is the purpose of us living our lives, to live in the grace of God. And that's why we go to confession, to make sure that we're in the grace of God. We receive the sacraments for an increase of grace. And so it is something for us to reflect upon, just as St. Paul, when he brings out in the epistle, of how the grace of God, our Savior, came to us this night. That we reflect upon that and see, are we living in the grace of God? It came through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so then the person, yes, the person of our Lord, that's recounted in the gospel. The shown to us, his birth, coming into this world. This is dispelling of the darkness. Of how this light came. And that is why when the angel comes to them and says, do not be fearful, I bring you good tidings. I bring you the tidings that the Savior has come, the Messiah has come here. And in a sense, there's nothing to be fearful any longer. Because the Messiah has come. And so that's why it goes on to say then all the angels join in praising God, of singing the praises of God, and that is what we reflect in the Gloria at every Mass that we have. And so yes, we rejoice in the fact that our Lord has come. Rejoice in this fact, spoken of in the offertory of the Mass. But it's good for us to try to focus then on the graces that are given to us. Because none of us are expected to save our souls without the grace of God. All of us need God's grace. And that grace will come to us if we ask for it, if we go seeking this grace of God. And that is why then the encouragement, yes, to go to the creche, to go to the manger scene and ask for these graces. We're coming upon a new calendar year soon. And so we ask for these graces for this upcoming year. We need the graces of God. And that is why it's so important for us to have spent this time in trying to prepare for all of these graces that are going to be given to us this night, this holy night, We reflect that, we sing that, we hear the Christmas carols talking about that, O Holy Night. These are meditations that we can make. These are things that we can think about. I think too often, obviously, especially if we grow up in the faith, we take a lot of things for granted. Even Christmas carols that we hear and we sing, we know by heart. But have we reflected upon the meaning behind them? Do we see clearly what the church is trying to bring out in the liturgy of the Mass itself, in the three Masses? Or as I say, with the Christmas carols themselves? Have we reflected upon them? Have we thought about what they mean for our own soul and what they do for our soul? I mean, when we refer to O Holy Night, it's because the Savior has come, because the graces of God are here for us. But we go through our lives, and sometimes we neglect that. We neglect the whole idea and the understanding of why our Lord came in the dead of the night. It is because He is this light. This light that dispels darkness, and that darkness is sin. And so that is what we must try to comprehend, to understand in these Christmas Masses. I'd encourage you to reflect and to look at the other Masses too. To spend part of your Christmas that way, yes, spend it with your family. Enjoy that. But also to try to reflect and to see throughout the liturgy. And you come to this midnight Mass, but there's two other Masses. Two different completely Masses. In terms of what the liturgy is trying to get us to contemplate and to think about. Yes, they all reflect light and they all signify our Lord being this light. But it's different aspects of that light. It's different aspects of our Lord Jesus Christ and what He came to bring to us. So it would be good to maybe take a little time, you know, during the day of Christmas, just to even to read through the Masses and see what is it saying to us? What is the church asking us to reflect upon and to think about and to consider? I would say, I mean, it's a powerful meditation just to think about the graces that God gives to us. I mean, it's amazing to think about. I mean, just from the fact of being able to go to confession and have your sins forgiven and being back in the grace of God. And that's why I've mentioned to you before, it's a miracle in of itself. I mean, obviously we refer to the miracle that takes place at every Mass. But it's also a miracle to understand that our sins can be forgiven like that. And being back in the grace of God. And what does that mean for us? Living in the grace of God. You know, living in sanctifying grace. As I say, sometimes we take these things for granted. We don't think about truly what is given to us, this great gift. And that is why we truly reflect and understand the meaning of Christmas. It is giving, truly giving of oneself. And that is why, I mean, the true expression that we have of the love that we have for others, our family members, is we give to them. Yes, we give them a material gift sometimes because it's an expression of the love we have for them. The appreciation that we have. And we see the true appreciation, the love that Almighty God has for all of our souls by giving His only begotten Son. I mean, look at the introit. The Lord said to me, and that I've begotten you this night. That is the true love of that God has for us. And so these are the things that we must try to reflect. Yes, St. Paul in the epistle brings out for us of how our Lord appeared and came and brought us this grace. And so yes, for St. Paul, very clearly knocked off his horse, that God wanted him to become this vessel of election. But that God appears to all of us by coming into this world. And through that, the wealth of graces that are offered to us. Do we take advantage of them? Do we think about them? Do we try to gain them? And I would say that is one of the main things that we have to try to reflect now at this time. Do we waste our whole Advent time? That's, yes, we may not receive many graces this Christmas. But God gives to us the opportunity to reflect and to see how the graces are given to us, are offered to every soul, the grace to save your soul. And not one single soul will be able to go before the judgment seat of God and say, well, you didn't give me the necessary help that I need to get to heaven. Not one soul can say that. Every soul will have that opportunity offered to them. And yes, maybe we can reflect and see maybe the lost graces of this Advent season. Who knows? Christmas has come quickly, yes. And so the graces are offered to us. And so this life of grace, we must not take it for granted. It is so precious to us. It is what will carry us and get us to heaven. But also we can reflect and to see how quickly we can lose this life of grace. One mortal sin can end it all for us. And so this reflection on grace, and the whole understanding of when our Lord came into this world, that is what it means by this light coming into the darkness. This light signifies grace, the darkness signifies sin, and it's our Lord overcoming sin. And so yes, it's a great meditation for us, it's a great thing to think about. The life of God in our soul. We have that opportunity. We've been given that chance. And so that is what we rejoice, that is what we celebrate in this night, this holy night. We celebrate and rejoice in the fact of the graces that are available to us, the graces to get us to heaven. Because then you see in the collect of the Mass, you also see in the post-communion, they echo that. The sentiments of living in the grace of God, getting to heaven, enjoying that, they're echoed in both of those prayers. So I encourage you to reflect upon this Mass, to think about that. But even if, say, your Advent season went by too quickly, it was a wasted time, to now reflect upon the life of grace. We can reflect upon the fleetingness of it. We can reflect upon how God gives us all these opportunities of that. And so when we refer to a holy night, this is what we're referring to. When we sing that, when we have that in our head, it is because of our Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. And that is what has made it so special. That is what has made it so holy. But reflecting upon holiness, the holiness comes from God. He's the author of holiness. And so since he's the author of that, obviously, for us, we must try to live in the life of grace. And so I'll leave you with the words of the post-communion. Who rejoice in celebrating by these mysteries the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, may by worthy lives deserve to obtain fellowship with him. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.